The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
What can you expect from God? And it's kind of in the same vein that I've really been in for probably 4 or 5 weeks now, this context of God and God moving and where we are and what God would have us to do. So to try to address the question, what can you expect from God? And we're going through the book of Joshua, one of our favorite books in the Bible, the book of Joshua, because Joshua is a man of God and he was a warrior. And Joshua 1:9 says this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. Lord, and as you spoke to your servant Joshua thousands of years ago, Father, speak to us again today through your word. Let us hear you speaking clearly and succinctly to us in such a way that we'll know what we can expect from you. Lord, we already know that every gift, every good thing from above is from you, and we receive that word even this morning. Father, give me strength of body, strength of voice to proclaim your word today. And Father, we pray and we believe for these things in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said,
Amen.
Joshua, I hope you can see this overhead. Don, kill the platform light for just a minute for me. I don't know if that helps any. So, back. Bring me to the next. There you go. You can see the river here, and the mountains on one side, and the plains on the other side. And old Joshua was standing there with the people of God. On one side is where they've been, and on the other side is where they're going. And things were going to be different. Egypt and bondage was behind them, and the promised land of God was before them. God had brought them to that moment in time, to that place miraculously through many, many different situations that Joshua stood there. Moses was gone. The mantle was being passed on to Joshua at that moment in time. And I believe that we are like the Israelites of that day. I believe we stand on the shores looking with remembrance of what was behind us and look forward with an expectation of what lies in front of us. And what lies in front of us are all the promises of God. And all of His promises are still yes, and they're still amen, even unto this day. Would you give me an amen on that? God hasn't changed His mind about His promises. And we're standing looking at the promises of God. Now, I've got to tell you that, and you know this to be true, whenever there's something new going on in our lives, there's a sense of what? Apprehension. Isn't that true? Whether you're going, I remember when I was a little boy, and my mama, Mildred St. Angelo, took me to a new school. I can still remember it. I was going into the fifth grade. And I remember Mama brought me out, and the kids were assembled in the parking lot, and she left me there, and she left. Well, the further away she got, the more I was in desperation. And I can still hear me screaming, "Mama!" And everybody else heard me from blocks around. I wasn't about to stay there without Mama being close by. Apprehension about new things. Fortunately, Mama came by and she looked me dead in the eye with those beautiful Italian eyes. She said, "Shut up and stay here." "Yes, ma'am, I will." And I went to school that day, my first day at that school. But whatever we do, we walk into a new church, we get married, we change jobs, all those things give us a sense of apprehension. And there's a sense of apprehension even now as to what God has in store for us. What are the plans that God has for us? We've been talking about that some in the last several weeks. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, what can we expect of God? What can we expect from Him? We have left the old ways, and we're moving on to a new way and a new place. And I want you to know that the old ways won't work anymore. That's why we're making so many changes around here. What we had before wasn't working. What we have in front of us will work, but it requires change. And change brings apprehension to all of our lives. I'm apprehensive. We're doing things that we haven't done before. And I'm praying and saying, Lord, are we sure we're on the right track? And I can almost hear God say, just stay in line and go to school. All right? This is what I called you to be here and to do this. And so, but we have to keep in mind that the old ways won't work anymore. There's a word that I want to help you understand a little bit. And as soon as I say the word, you're going to have a preconceived notion of what it means. Because you've been taught a lot of things about it. It's a familiar theological word. As soon as I say it, whatever you've learned about this word is going to come to the forefront of your mind. And you're going to say, that's what that means. All right? Don't be so sure. The word is repent. And if I was to take the microphone, pass through the aisles, I imagine I'd get a pretty good idea of what repentance means. Think in terms of remorse, sorrow, sackcloth, ashes, promises never to do things again that we did before. That's the way we use the word repent today. That's what we speak of it. But you know, that's not what the word really means. Those who go look it up and find out, I mean, to testify, it really means literally an exact translation of the word means changed thinking. Changed thinking. Now, you've been told that it means you're going in one direction, you repent, and you turn around and go another direction. Now, there's an application of that, but what it really means is changed thinking. Now, I want you to take that concept, and I want you to put it in the mouth of Jesus. When Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, everyone means applies that in the traditional way of thinking about it. That means that we need to stop sinning, we need to have sackcloth and ashes, we need to do all those things. But I'm here to tell you, I think he had a different thought in mind. I think he was saying, we need to change our way of thinking in order to be in the kingdom of God. It takes changed thinking. The old ways of thinking under the law and under the old covenant would not work in the new covenant. We needed to think differently. And what we see as we study the scriptures, and you see in the book of Acts, this plying away of the grip that people had on the old covenant to bring them over to the new covenant. And they need to change the way that they thought about things because it was a completely new horizon and completely new revelation of the promises of God. What Israel had to do when they left Egypt, they had to change the way that they thought when they went into the promised land. You know why? Because in Israel, what were they? They were slaves. They were the people of God living in bondage. When they moved over, they were a different group of people. They were still Israelites, but they were free men now. And they needed to think like free people possessing the promises of God. And you all know the story that when Moses went up on the mountain and left them to their own devices, what did they do? They went back to their old way of thinking, didn't they? They went back to the old ways. And there's always a tendency to want to go back to what's comfortable. And there's a tendency on our part as a church that we'll want to kind of ease back to where we were, to that comfort zone. I'm telling you, we need to repent. We need to have changed thinking. It's going to take a new way of thinking to bring this church to the place that God wants us to be. Now, with that said and done, I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about what we can expect from God. What can we expect from God with this in this new land, this new promise, this new revelation that the Lord has given us? First of all, we can expect to hear from God. Now, before I go any further, I want to do something. I want you to learn this word, expect. I want you to begin to have an expectation of things. I want you to begin to think about God doing things. And as I go through these points of the sermon, I want you to begin to expect these things to begin to happen in your life. I want you to begin to expect that you will hear from God, all right? That your ears are capable of hearing. You know, if you're born a normal birth, you have usually two good ears, and you can hear things. The older you get and your ears get worn out a little bit, some of you wise can attest that men don't always hear as well as we used to. We see lips moving, but we don't always hear the words. But we need to hear from God. And let's look at in Joshua, the passage of Scripture, Joshua 1:5. Now remember that this is new. This is all new for Joshua. He had always been dependent on Moses. Moses was gone. They had left Egypt behind. They were leaving the desert where they had wandered for 40 years. They were leaving that behind. They were crossing over the Jordan River into the land of promise. And God speaks to Joshua and says, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life." Can you feel Joshua just rising up a little higher? Can you feel him, see him feeling a little bit better, all right? Yeah, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, oh, hallelujah, says Joshua, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are words of encouragement to Joshua. And they pass through the portal of time to this room today and apply to our lives to know that no one, whether they're spiritual beings from hell or whether they're people of the flesh, will be able to stand against you as an individual and against this church all the days of our lives. They will fall. I had to fight that battle to get here this week. I was in spiritual warfare as the enemy was trying to get me to stop and go back to the old ways. In fact, this morning when I woke up and I was debating what was the first words I was going to say. I sat on the edge of my bed and I thought, what's the first words that I'm going to say today? I haven't talked in 4 or 5 days now. And I said, Jesus is Lord. And I heard myself say it. I said, hallelujah, I can speak again. You know, my voice is back. And as I started getting ready, and I thought, well, what I need to do is go in the bathroom and take me some medicine. I got cough medicine, cold medicine, sinus medicine. I got pain medicine. I got every kind of medicine there is. I got it lined up in my bathroom. And as I walked in there to take it, I heard the Lord speak to me and said, make no provisions for the flesh. I said, I heard that loud and clear. Make no provisions for the flesh. And I said, you know what? I'm not taking any medication. And I'll do you one even better than that. Devil, I'm not even going to eat anything today. You know? No food today. I'll just fast today. I want to tell you, by the way, that I was fasting this past week in spite of my wife trying to feed me. I didn't want to tell I was fasting. She kept bringing me food. You got to eat something. I said, no, I don't feel like eating anything. I didn't want to eat anything because I wanted to fast because I wanted to work on this thing on a spiritual level and not on a physical level. You know, and I believe that helped me break through. So I just give you that word of encouragement. You know? But the Lord said, so I will be with you. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses. And Moses spoke to the people. God spoke to Joshua. And Joshua spoke to the people. I'm here to tell you that God is speaking to me. And I'm passing it on to you. These are words from the Lord. I believe God's given me a message that has life for you today. They have a sense of expectation. God speaks to the leadership and it's responsibility of the leadership to bring those truths to you. I cannot keep those truths bottled up in me. And I cannot change them to the way I feel. You know, I thought about this message. You know, it wasn't what I had in mind. But I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I said, okay, Lord, if this is what you want to say, this is what I'll say this day. Hearing from God. Hearing from God in a new and a fresh way. You have shown, as a body of believers, I wish I had one. I'm going to get one of those little things you used to have in school. You know, we put your name up on a list, and the teacher used to put little stars up there. Sometimes you get a gold star. Sometimes you get a little silver star. Sometimes you get no stars. Sometimes you got stars and you get hit in the head because you wasn't good, you know. But I'd like to have one of those things up there because everybody gets a gold star. You guys get a gold star. You have been so good about following the leadership of this church. It is just amazing that we're seeing unfolded the revelation and the miracles and the revival that we've been talking about. I ask you to fast, and you fasted. We ask you to come Wednesday and take a spiritual gift test, and you came. And we had a full house. And we took the test. Some of you found out you have attributes and gifts that you didn't even know about. And Brother Wayne is working on those things, and we're putting them together to get that information back to you as we begin to shape the future of this body of believers and what God would have us to do individually and corporately. All right? Now, I want to tell you that in this passage, there were three things that in this thing we just looked at. It said, no one will be able to stand against you. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. But I've been telling you this for months now. So I want you to be, knowledge is wisdom. All right? Don't be afraid. But you will be under attack. All right? The enemy has decided to rail against us. So don't be surprised at the things that start going wrong in your life. All right? This is not business as usual. But when things begin to happen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think differently. I want you to think differently and think, I will not let the enemy have control over my life. And I want you to stand up and fight. I want you to do whatever you need to do. If your back hurts, don't receive that. Say, I will not receive it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Begin quoting the Scriptures to yourself. If you need to, do what I did this week. Fast if you need to, but don't give in to the enemy. If you start fighting one another, husbands and wives, don't go that way. Just remember that the antagonism is coming from the enemy. If your kids start going off the deep end doing stuff, it's the enemy who's coming against us. Now, I'm not the kind of person who looks for a devil behind every rock, but I realize that right now, the way things are going, there are demonic forces in high places who have assignments to stop us from doing what we want to do. All right? So we're going to have to war our way there. And remember this scripture, that no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. You need to, this is Joshua 1:5. Mark it in your Bibles, write it down, memorize it, all right? It'll help you. The second thing is that God promised intimacy with him. Moses had intimacy with God that nobody else had. Remember, Moses was doing his daily routines in the desert, and he saw a bush burning. And he went to that bush. God said, take the shoes off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. And began an intimacy with Moses at that day that lasted all the days of his life. And God spoke to him in a very intimate, special way. Now, you know one of the nice things about being married is that we have intimacy with our husbands and our wives, don't we? We say things to our husbands and wives that we wouldn't say to anyone else. We share secrets about ourselves. We yield ourselves to our loved one. And there's a connection and a bond that you won't find anywhere else on the planet between a husband and a wife. Well, that same intimacy that Moses had with God was passed on to Joshua, and it's being passed on to us, that we will have an intimacy with God. God will give us secrets that he doesn't give to everyone else. And we just listen. We just listen. He'll speak to our hearts. He'll tell us things. He'll use endearing names for us. He'll call us by a special name. You know, Jesus was real good about doing that. He liked to change people's names. You know, he gave Peter a new name. Ended up giving Saul of Tarsus a new name. You know, it's kind of the way things were. And the Lord give you a new name. And that new name is written down in glory. And God wants to whisper intimate things to you, but you need to listen. Amen. Now, one of the ways of listening is you're going to have to shut out some other stuff. And I've talked to you about this before. We need to shut out some of the other things so that we can hear the voice of God. As Moses experienced God, so you and I can experience God. I expect an intimacy. I expect God to begin telling us stuff. I love the words that came forth this morning. People sharing out of their hearts things that don't even understand necessarily what it means. You know, even Evan this morning said, I'm not sure who this is for, but I feel like I need to say this. That's that intimacy of the Holy Spirit speaking through mortal man that we might hear. See, most of the time we hear from God in two ways. Now, these aren't the only ways, but most of the time, we hear from God through His written word, and we hear from God through the prophets, or through someone giving us a prophetic word, a word of exhortation. Now, there are times that God speaks to us sovereignly sometimes an audible voice, and sometimes in a quiet voice to our hearts. But God does speak to us in an intimate way if we'll just listen. The last thing you see here, it says, I will never forsake you. You know, some of you have been forsaken, haven't you? Parents have forsaken you. Brothers and sisters have forsaken you. Husbands and wives have forsaken you. You know, you've been left behind while others went on. Here's a promise from God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's good news. We need to know that. We need to know that in our individual lives and corporately as a body of believers that God's not leaving. He's not putting Ichabod on the door and running out the other way. He's not saying, I'm tired of fooling with you and all your troubles, and runs out the other way. To the contrary, He stays with us in the thickness of our troubles as we look to Him. The Scripture says that He is the author and the what? Finisher of our faith. So you can take encouragement this morning that God will not forsake you. Amen? It's only point one. Point number two, what else can you expect from God? You can expect to learn a new way. You can expect to learn some new ways, all right? Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Boy, I love this passage of Scripture. Do not let this book of the law, you could say this book of the Scriptures, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do everything written in it. Moses needed to be taught, and God taught him. Joshua needed to be taught, and God taught him. You need to be taught, and the Holy Spirit, through the church, will teach us the things that we need to know. I want to read a passage of Scripture for you. It's not on the overhead, but it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says this, He is the one who gave these gifts to the church. He gave these gifts to the church. All right? You know what they are? These gifts to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. See, God put a mechanism in place in the church for us to learn. He's given these gifts to the church so we can be an instructor. You know, one of the worst things that can ever happen to you is to know it all. As soon as you know it all, you're in trouble. You've just closed the door to learning anything new. Bill Borchert, my good friend, our landlord here, I think he told me it was his uncle. I believe he told me that was his uncle did this when he was a boy. Evidently, Bill had a hard head about him, and his uncle said to him, Bill, do you quit listening when you're sure you're right about something? And Bill told that story, it really sinks into my spirit. Do you quit listening when you're sure you're right about something? The answer for most of us would be yes. I say we need to be open to hear new things. We need to be open to listen to the voice of God to teach us new ways. The truth is that we do not know it all. We do not have all the answers. Even now we're rearranging the church and doing different things and structuring different things, and we don't have all the answers. But we do believe that God will direct us and teach us the things that we need to know. We took that spiritual gift test, and we found out some things about us. You know, the first time I took one of those, it wasn't in a spiritual setting. I was at the University of Houston. And they had this very long test. It took a half a day to take it. And they would tell you what you were best suited to be. Well, I'd always thought of myself as I had studied accounting in high school and knew a little about business. And I kind of thought, well, that would show where I would be pointing. I was a computer programmer, so I thought that's where it would show. When they gave the little graph, if you've ever taken these things, you do a little bar graph, and they show, you know, one occupation, and a little bar goes out this way. You score from 0 to 100 on it. And then it'll show another one you score. Well, all of my scores were pretty much grouped together except for one. One of them was off the chart. I scored 100 percentile in this one area. So I was going to be a funeral director. A funeral director. The last thing in the world I'd ever want to be is a funeral director. You know, but I was surprised to learn that about myself. And this was a very good test. It was one of these tests that has built-in mechanisms to make sure that it cross-correlates itself. And you know what I found myself through the years? You know one of the things that I do better than anything else? I do funerals. I do funerals very well. And it's just something in my heart, just a tenderness in my heart to do that for people, to be there, to honor the loved ones that we've laid to rest, to be there with the family, to encourage them. And I always think back about that when I was back at the University of Houston, and it said that I had a propensity to be a funeral director. And it's just what God let me do. By the way, I don't do good at weddings. You know, weddings are the hardest thing in the world for me to do. So if you want to get married, we'll get somebody else to marry you. But if you want to get buried, I'll do it for you, all right? No problems. It'll be good. You'll really like it, all right? No, Pat says I do all right on weddings. I do. I got Jamie and Mark married together. Yeah, they're looking pretty good. They're in church, smiling, raising children in the Lord. Amen. Anybody else here married? Any, doing weddings for anybody else here? No, it's the only ones. I thought there were some others I had done. Oh, they got divorced. No, I'm just kidding. No. But this thing of expecting to learn some new things. The spiritual gift test showed us some things. And we're going to begin to study and learn some new skills. You know what I hated to do in school? You know what I hated to do in school? I hated to study. I don't know why I wasn't smart like all the other kids. You know, I had a guy, his name was Al Boudreau. Al was my best friend. Al Boudreau was a genius. He never studied and got straight A's. I studied like there was no tomorrow, and I got straight C's and D's. And every once in a while, the little F mark showed up. I had to work really, 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 really hard to learn anything when I was in school. I was aggravated when people were so smart that they didn't have to study. But you know what happens in the church? We're going to have to study to learn some new skills. And Wednesday, Wayne is going to be teaching us some of the new skills from our spiritual awareness test that we took Wednesday. So that's going to be going on. We're going to be doing some things on Sunday morning, some classes about growing in the Lord. We'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. But this coming Sunday, and for 4 weeks, we're going to have the new attendees class. So let me define that for you. Some of you have been coming here for years. And you would say, well, I'm not a new attendee. You're a new attendee if you haven't been to the class. All right? And you need to be there. You need to understand what we believe as a body of believers. Where are we going? What is God's vision for us? And I'm going to take me 4 weeks to do that. So at 9 o'clock, right here in the auditorium, I'll be teaching that. So if you've never been through it, you need to be here. Now, here's the real wrinkle on it. In order to get to take the next classes, you got to take this class. You know, when you went to school, you went to college, or even in high school, you know, you got to take fundamental classes before you can go on other classes. I mean, that's just the rules of the game. The same rules apply here. In order to be able to go to the other classes, you're going to have to go to this class, first of all, to get you established. Some of you don't even know what we believe around here. You don't know what I believe about stuff. All you've heard is the thing I've said in the pulpit, but I don't say it all together at one time. But you'll get a condensed version of the truths that God has placed in my heart for us as a church, all right? So, and Jim was good enough to bring them up here and slide for us, all right? It starts February 10th, lasts until March the 2nd. And if you can't make it on Sunday morning, we're going to have an additional class, and I can't tell you when I'm going to start it. We'll do it on Wednesday night, because some people have to work on Sunday morning, or if you miss a class, so we're going to do it twice to make sure everybody has opportunity to go to their class, okay? Everybody said? All right, I like to hear that. By the way, the sign-up sheet is in the back. Don't forget to sign up. Number 3, you can expect to receive an increase. Oh, glory to God. I love this part of it. You can expect to receive an increase. Verse 6 in Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Joshua got to bring the people into the land of their inheritance. And you can expect to receive something from God. Open your windows. Open your spiritual windows. To let the breeze of the Holy Spirit blow in. Go gather some vases so they can fill them with oil. So that you'll have plenty. Clean your threshing floors, a place where the harvest would go. Make preparations now for new barns and a new harvest for your life. I believe, and I told you this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to reemphasize it this morning, that as we prosper as a church, as God brings us to the new arena that we're going into, the promise is fulfilled, you as individuals will prosper along the way. Amen, Pastor. That's a good, you know, to prosper along the way. Come on now. Don't you want to prosper? You know what the Scripture says? That you should prosper even as your soul prospers. How's your soul doing? Soul's doing all right. It's born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your spirit, man, is doing good. But our outward man, we want to prosper too. There's no reason for us not to prosper in our health, in our wealth, in our ministry, and all the things that God has called us to do. So look for prosperity to begin to show up. We're going to be putting some ministries together and people assigned to do some things. Some of you already have your assignments, and we'll be talking about that in some more detail in these classes. But expect those things to flourish and grow. If we plant good seeds, and if we water with the Holy Spirit, we can expect God to give an increase, all right? So individually, in your own personal lives, and also collectively, as a body of believers, we will prosper. Joshua was to lead them into the land of promise. My job is to show you what God can do, to paint the picture for you in words and actions that you can see what God can do in your life. Your harvest is not in the past, but your harvest is in the future. There's a great principle laid out for us as Moses and the people of Israel walked through the desert for 40 years. God gave them manna. You all know about manna. And it fed every day. But you know, they couldn't save it for the next day, except through the Sabbath. They could have 2 days. And it would always turn rotten. And the old ways are going to turn rotten on you. The old things are going to turn rotten. There are new things. Expect some new things to begin to happen and to begin to receive these increases in your life. All right? Expect something new. I talked to you when I first began the sermon today. They have a sense of expectation about some good things to begin to happen. So I have a sense of expectation that good things are happening now. I read an article I want to read to you. You're going to love this. Some time ago, Reader's Digest told a story about a company who mailed out some special advertising business postcards with a mustard seed glued to it with the special instructions that went something like this. If you have faith as small as this mustard seed in our company, you are guaranteed to get excellent results and to be totally satisfied. Sign the management. A few months later, one recipient of a promotional piece wrote back to the company and said, you'd be very interested to know that I planted the mustard seed that you sent on your advertising card, and it has grown into a very healthy bush producing wonderful tomatoes. Wonderful tomatoes. Well, I want you to know that God is not being covert and sending us tomato seeds instead of mustard seeds, all right? So you can expect what the Word of God says that we can expect, all right? Amen. So believe that your harvest is coming, and God never goes back on His Word. He doesn't change His mind. He is the God of the harvest. We talked about that last week, about having a harvest. God wants to pour out blessings upon us that we cannot contain. You remember the story we did a series several months back about Ruth? And remember when Ruth met up with Boaz? And she's a type of the church, and Boaz is a type of Christ. And what did he do? He watched over her. He went and told other people, go give her extra. Go see that she gets something else. And when she met with him one-on-one, he saw to it that she could barely carry all the grain that he put into her apron to carry back to Naomi. God poured out blessings upon her. God wants to pour out blessings upon us. We just have to be receivers. Somebody said, very wise, said, you know, we talk about God being a giver. So we think, what's the first thing we ought to be? We ought to be givers. And that's wrong. The first thing we ought to be is receivers. If God's giving, we ought to be receiving. I remember my old daddy. My daddy was in his 70s, and he had gone down to Morbid Gorman's Church down in New Orleans when that was really blowing and going. And I'm telling the wrong story. I got him in the wrong place. He was at my church, the church that I was attending. And the pastor called for those who were sick to be prayed for, and my dad went down. And when he got prayed for, when he came back, I said, "Dad, is something wrong?" You know, being a concerned son, you know, looking over his elderly dad. And I said, "Dad, is there something wrong?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, you went down to get prayed for." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Look, if God's giving away something free, I'm getting in line." You know, we ought to have that mentality of my old pappy, you know. God's giving something away, get in line. Let me ask you this question. Do you have an expectation of receiving anything from God? Or do you think things are always going to be like they are in the desert? You got to change the way you think. Amen. You got to have an expectation from God to do great things in your life. If you don't have an expectation, you'll live in the desert thinking all your life. Amen. Begin to think differently. I don't know where all of you have been and what all you've been through, but forget about it. Amen. We're moving on. We can't live there anymore. That doesn't work. We're going to a new place, a new land where there's a land. I love the description of it. It's a land that's flowing. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, flowing. It's flowing with milk and honey. It means there's prosperity there. There's plenty to eat. There's plenty to do. There's activity. There's excitement. That's God's plan for believers. You know why most people don't come to church? Because there ain't no expectation of anything happening. They got the same old sermons, the same old place, get the same old thing. Trying to eat yesterday's manna. I want you to have an expectation of good things happening in your life. Don't worry about me. I tell you what, I got godly jealous this week. My wife, not as spiritual as I am, I'm the pastor of the church. Now, by my definition, she got a healed limb. I mean, she's walking around like this for days. Oh, it hurts. She can't move, can't do nothing. And then she comes, went thirsty, she's completely ill. And I can't talk. And I told God that. I said, it's not fair. Why should you heal her and not heal me? You know, and I brought it to God. And then I thought, well, I'll just fast. She doesn't, but I don't mind fasting. I'll just get fasting. I fasted that day. And the next day, and the next day. Because I wanted to have a harvest. I wanted to be healed. And I tell you, the more I preach, the stronger my voice is getting up here. And I can feel it. Having an expectation. I expected to be here this morning preaching. The old ways of thinking, I told you earlier, was to call somebody to come preach for me. And I could have sat there, mum as a dummy. You know, not to say a word. But I had an expectation of things. What is your expectation when it comes to God? Do you have any at all? It's time to change the way that we think. And began to think like people who have just walked into the promised land. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Walking over that water. Oh, Moses opened up the Red Sea. Oh, Joshua opened up the river. And they went through on dry land into the land that God had prepared for them. I'm telling you, God has promises that He's given to us as a body of believers that are still wrapped under the Christmas tree. And it's time to start unwrapping them and start believing God. Listen, just take it from a one-arm preacher, all right? Just do this. If you've got an inkling of truth of what I'm telling you today, make up your mind that you're not going to turn loose of God until the harvest starts coming in your life. Make up your mind. And if you've got to fast for 3 days or 7 days or 20 days or 40 days or not eat or drink another thing until God comes through, go ahead and do it. Do what you have to do in order to get in touch with God. I love that woman who was sick all of her life. She spent everything she had. And nobody would let her get to Jesus. And she got through the crowd. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. And when she touched Him, Jesus said, virtue flowed out of me. Jesus wants virtue to flow from Him into you and into your life. That you can have the abundant life. God didn't bring us into the kingdom to be paupers. He brought us into the kingdom to be prosperous. Remember the prodigal son who came home? He came home with nothing. He came home thinking differently, didn't he? Didn't he have a change of thinking? Didn't he have repentance in his life? He thought differently. He said, if I could just get to Papa's house, if I could just get there, The servants are living better than I am. They're eating better than I am. If I could just be a servant in my father's house. But what happened when he got there? What happened when he got there? Father gave him everything. He put good clothes on him. He put good shoes on him. He put a ring on him. He said, this is my boy. He said, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a harvest party. Because that which is lost has been found. And some of us are lost in the desert. And we need to get out of the desert and go to Father's house where the bounty is. You'll find it in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you what, you're not going to find it in a presidential candidate. You're not going to find it on NBC, CBS, Fox, or the rest of the television stations. You're not going to find it anywhere but in Father's house. That's where the prosperity is. That's where the harvest is. That's where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. I don't preach myself happy, right? Woo! Glory to God. Ready to receive the increase from God. Number four. Oh, hang on. Woo, hallelujah. Expect events to happen soon. Soon. I'm tired of waiting for tomorrow. I want to see the events happen now. Look at this passage of Scripture. Joshua 1, verse 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people. That's the leadership of this church, all right? That's us, all right? The leadership of this church. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. Are you ready? Are you getting your supplies ready? Are you doing any preparation? Are you preparing yourself? Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. 3 days from now. They've been wandering for 40 years. They were 400 years in slavery. And they were finally out. And the moment of truth was there. God said, in 3 days, we're crossing over. Well, I don't even want to wait 3 days. I don't want to wait till next Sunday. I don't want to wait till Wednesday. I want to see it happen now. And I believe God wants to do things now. Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday. I don't care. Now. Make yourself ready. Study in preparation. I know we're asking a lot of you, but you know what? I've discovered something the last couple of months with you guys. Y'all do better if we expect a lot out of you. You do. You just do better. So we're expecting you to be here for these classes we're going to do. I'm expecting you to pray for victory. You need to pray. I appreciate those of you who prayed. Miss Rose was praying for me when I was sick. Some of the others were praying for me when I was sick. And I appreciate it. Pray and expect the victory to happen soon. Inventory your spiritual gifts. We just went through the test. Come back Wednesday and we're going to talk about that some more. About your spiritual gifts and what God would have you to be and what God would have you to do. Some of you got so much talent, we're going to have to figure out where to put it. You can do anything just about in the kingdom. Inventory your special gift. Live today as if today was today that your harvest came in. Are you expecting a harvest today? Not tomorrow. Man, I don't even know if there'll be tomorrow. I'm not sure I'm going to make it to tomorrow. I'm not sure you're going to make it to tomorrow. I'm not sure the sun's going to come up tomorrow. But I'm sure of this one thing. God holds the day, all right? Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and expect a harvest in it today. Amen. Begin to think differently. Why not think positively? And this isn't positive mental attitude stuff. I'm not talking about that. But positively about the promises of God for you in the kingdom of God. To begin to think that way. Get your expectation level up that it's happening now. You don't have to wait for an event. This is the event. Amen. This is the moment in time. The place where you can receive the harvest. Begin to believe now that you're healed. Begin to believe now that your children are healed. Begin to believe now that your children are coming home. Begin to believe now that your marriage is healed. Begin to believe now that you got a better job. Begin to believe now that you're prospering. Begin to believe now that God is using you. Begin to believe now that you're laying hand on the sick and they're recovering. Begin to believe now that you're prophesying. Begin to believe now that you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Begin to believe now that these things are happening. Not tomorrow, but today. Looking now with a sense of expectation that it is coming. If I were you, I'd start coming to this building early. Because you may not get a seat. Come on. You may not find a place to sit. Amen. Oh, you all start coming early, so I'll make sure I got a seat. I said, oh, Pastor, we still got a bunch of vacant seats. You don't be looking at these vacant seats. I'm looking at full seats. Yeah? Because you know what? Because you're going to go home and you're going to tell other people about what's going on around here. And they're going to start showing up. You know why? Because they want to get on to these promises too. I promise you, anybody down the street, we told them about these promises. They say, yeah, I need to have that. I need to have that prosperity. I need to have that healing. I need to have those things. Say, oh, come with me to church and I'll show you what's going on. We'll introduce you to King Jesus. And He'll transform your life. And the promises of God are now for today. Come expecting to get a confirming word from God. When's the last time you came to church expecting God to confirm something to you? That you'd get a word from God. That one of the people of the church would come up to you and say, you know, I was thinking about you this week, and God said to tell you this. And God would give you a confirming word. When's the last time you looked for that? Or you just showing up here and just think, well, we'll sing a few songs. Jim will do the CD thing, you know, and that'll be it. Why not come here expecting to hear from God for your life? I don't know about you, but I like it when I hear from God. I like it when somebody comes to me and says, you know, the Lord told me this about you. The Lord said to tell you this. Those are confirming words in our lives, and we need those things. Come prepared to give a confirming word. When's the last time you prayed that God would give you a word for somebody? When you listen, here's a new way of thinking for you. If you're at home and you're eating dinner or washing clothes or on your job or driving your car, whatever, and if somebody comes to your mind, don't just say, oh, I just thought of that person. That's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. Think about that person and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for that person, whoever they are? And the Lord might say, I want you to pray for them. Or the Lord may give you a word. It may not make any sense in the world to you. You know, eventually, just give them a call. See what's going on. Begin to have a sense of expectation about God using you to do great things in the kingdom. We read the passage of Scripture that all this fivefold ministry is given to the church to build you up for the work of the ministry. For you to do it. Not for me. I can prophesy every day coming here. I don't prophesy every day because I want to hear you prophesy. I want to give you the opportunity. I want to hear you have a word of exhortation. I want to hear you say, thus saith the Lord. If you're a born-again believer, Spirit-filled with the gifts of God, God can use you in these things. Have an expectation of it happening now. Come to every event. I thought about that when I wrote that in my notes. Come to every event. I wouldn't want to take a chance on missing something. I don't want to miss. God's doing something. I want to be there. It would drive me crazy if I was not here this morning and I got a phone call after service and said, whoa, you should have been there and see what God did. I'd be mad as a wet end that I missed out on something. I don't like to miss out on anything. I want to be right in the middle of everything God's doing. How about you? Get involved now. Have a sense of expectation. Hallelujah. Y'all fired up? I am. I want to close. I want to give you a couple of questions I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Are you really ready? With a sense of expectation about good things from God. Let me ask you this question. I want you to seriously answer this question. Are you saved today? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Or you just been going to church because mom and daddy took you from the time you were a kid? Have you really received Christ into your life? Have you been born of the Spirit? If the answer to that question is no, today is the day of your salvation. Not tomorrow, not Wednesday night, not next Sunday. Today is the day of your salvation. Let me ask you another question. Have you been baptized by immersion? Have you been baptized by immersion? I'm not talking about being sprinkled when you were a baby. I'm talking about being a dedication. I'm talking, if you've been baptized the way the Scriptures say you should be baptized, believers ought to be immersed in water. It's a picture of the death, the burial, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized? Let me tell you what. The christening that you got as a kid is great. Thank God that your mom and dad just did that. I'm not opposed to that. But it's not what you need today. I remember when I got baptized as an adult. Some of you will testify to this. It was the first giant step that I took in the kingdom of God. I was different after I was baptized. Something spiritual happened to me. Have you been baptized? If not, why not get you baptized? If you don't get baptized, we'll fill up the tank. We can do it. It'll be cold water, but we'll do it. Or we might wait till next Sunday and give you some warm water if you want. Or Wednesday night, I don't know. But have you been baptized? By the way, if you're thinking, I want you to pay attention. Some of you listen to me, aren't you? If you're thinking that I'm wrong and you're right, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you're right. If you're thinking that your infant baptism is good enough, you're wrong. And I've got truckloads of scripture to prove what I'm saying. You need to be baptized. It's good for you. We have write-ups in the back about baptism. Teach you some things probably you didn't know. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Now some of you just turned you off. Oh, I don't believe in that. But if you think I'm wrong about that, you're wrong. If you think I'm wrong about that, you're wrong. There's not very many things that I'm so dogmatic about, but I'll tell you what, I'm dogmatic about this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real event that took place in the New Testament. I studied it for 2 years, so I'm not a novice on this subject. And I'm telling you, it existed then, it exists today, and it's for you. I remember my old pappy talking about my daddy today. I don't know why. I told my daddy, when he became a believer, 65 years old, and I told him he needed to be baptized on the Spirit, he said, I don't need it. He said, I don't need that. That's not for me, Morris. I don't need it. He was very adamant. And the more I talked to him about it, the more adamant he got. Until he went down to a Pentecostal church. He get prayed for. They laid hands on him. He got slain in the Holy Spirit. Came up speaking in other tongues. He called me on the phone. You know what the first thing my daddy told me? This is just what I needed. I could have hit him with a brick. And I've been trying to tell you that. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is what you need. The last thing I want to ask you. Are you rid of your old habits? Old habits from the world? Or are they still hanging on to you? Are you still trying to get the victory over things? Maybe your eyes looking in the wrong direction, looking at wrong things, thinking wrong things, wishing for wrong things, steeped in sin and you just can't get away from it? Today is the day to get rid of it. Alright? Today is the day for you to get rid of it. Alright? Let's all stand. I don't do a whole lot of altar calls around here, but I guess that Brother Wayne playing gently in the background has inspired me to think about it. If you're here this morning, and one of those things, or maybe something else that I brought up, about salvation, baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or sin, if you want to be prayed for one of those things, I want you to come on down. We're going to pray for you. Come on down. Come on down. Take a few minutes, but I don't want you to get anxious on me, all right? I just want you to stay put. I want to pray for these folks, so I want you to hear me praying for them, okay? I'm going to pray for each one of them. Greg, come on down here, son. Deborah, we're going to pray with you.